There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Bola Bello, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax, relax, and enjoy the ministration.
Pastor Sheyi, and is of tremendous impact and influence in my life. Praise God. There's nowhere I speak, whether PGT or outside PGT, that I will not remember him. Praise God. Because it's always good for you to remember where you are coming from. I remember I call myself a Kana Christian? I wasn't Kana. I was not living a wayward life. But then, the things of God were not in me before I met him. But after that meeting, things began to take shape. When he was the youth pastor, I was appointed his secretary. You can see that the journey has been very, very, very long. Many of you were not born then. Praise God. I'm talking of 1989. Hallelujah. And so he made a tremendous impact. By the time I was giving up hope on faith, that it wasn't worth it, he brought me again. He just called me to Tony Street. And I am meeting this young man. And that was the end of this journey. That was the beginning of this journey. I won't forget where he ministered from the book of Job, when he was talking about the sons of God. And I was asking pastor, I said, are these people Christian? Are they preaching from Bible? Because we've never had such before. And I made up my mind that, yes, if I am not better than them, I'm going to be one of them. And I can't forget in a hurry what God spoke to me, especially in 1991, the promises he made. Because it's always good for us to remember, in the days when I was agonizing and asking God for his will, he said, I will make you to stand among those that are standing. Praise God. I can't forget that. He said, your departure shall not be in a hurry. For I, the Lord, will go with you. And I hold seriously on that promises, and I'm not in a hurry. Praise God. I know when it's true, it's true. So I want to appreciate Pastor Sheyi Osanibi. Can you help me clap for my pastor? Praise God. Pastor EP, I want to thank God for your life. You have been a blessing to me. I will never forget the day I met you. God will continue to keep you in Jesus' name. Pastor Majasan is another man. I've told the story of this man before in the church. I remember there was a time when we used to agonize together. And we start praying one prayer. Lord, judge me. Lord, judge me. I said, judge me. No, Lord, have mercy on me. Praise God. If we raise that prayer, he's the one leading. He said, God, if there is any iniquity in me, if there is any unrighteousness, we do that prayer for a very long time. I can't remember. For a very long time. So when he say, God, judge me, I say, Lord, mercy is what I need. Can we welcome our mommy to the church? Oh, Pastor Tayo, you're welcome, sir. Hallelujah. So you can see that each and every one of them has, at one point in time, made a tremendous impact in our lives. And we continue to impact in our lives positively in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Shout hallelujah. I was telling Sister Bola yesterday, I said, where am I going to start now? Because I was planning to start my message from the book of Daniel in chapter 9, talk about the issue of Daniel, and Pastor EP dealt with it. Praise God. I woke up early this morning and said, okay, I will go into the line of prayers. And I have a very serious, profound message on that. And I said, nobody will get there. From the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Praise God. And he break the ice again. Then I now say, well, what I need to do is to flew. Praise God. And by the grace of God, I am going to flow today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, we are talking about the warfare of the kingdom. It's all about fight. It's all about conflict. It's all about hostility. Praise God. I want you to know this and let it come to your head, your understanding, that when we are talking about warfare, it's all about fight. It's all about, you know, exploit. It's all about conflict. And it's all about hostility. Praise God. Now, what are we fighting for? That's the question. We are fighting for space. We are fighting for space. We are not just fighting for expression. Of course, one of the things that we are fighting for is an expression, not in ourselves, but in God. Praise God. And I have discovered this, that there have never been any vacant possession of space, either in the land, air, sea, or anywhere. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand that truth. There's no vacant possession of a space. There's no space that is empty for occupation. All space, if you like it, called spaces, whether here, sea, land, or wherever, are already occupied and they are already possessed by individual called man and spirit. Praise God. All space. I'm talking of the air. The prince of the air, they are there. So when you are flying, you are contending with the prince of the air. Praise God. Are we talking of the land? They are there. Of course, they were here before we were here. How many of us understand that truth? They were here even before we were made, before we were here. So you discover now that there is no vacant possession of any space in the universe. I don't know of heaven. Praise God. I don't know of heaven. So what is required? And of course, man must live in a space. Man must have his own space. He must have his own dwelling. So it requires us to invade. It requires our invasion before we can have an occupation of a space. It requires our invasion. Praise God. Now, I understand the truth that the earth is given unto man, not unto the spirit. But I also understand this truth that the earth has been occupied by the spirit even before man came. Praise God. Now you can see the predicament. Pastor Sheyi shared a scripture with us in the book of Revelation. I think Revelation chapter 12. Is it Pastor? When he said, oh, Pastor E.P., he shared that scripture. He said, woe unto you, ye inhabitants of the earth, for the... Can you give me that? For the accuser of brethren is among you, has come down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, of course, that was a prophetic saying. By the time that prophetic statement was made, man was not on the scene. But as far as God is concerned, man is already there. Because God always talk to the finish. He's not talking about the beginning. He's talking about the end. So he has seen man occupying the earth. So he said that, oh, people that are coming, you need to contend. Praise God. You need to fight. You need to fight. So it doesn't really matter whether you occupy a place or it's legitimate yours. Praise God. Whether that place is legitimately owned by you or is given unto you as an inheritance, if you are not strong enough, somebody will contend with you in that space, they will overthrow you. Praise God. Somebody will contend with you in that space, they will overtake you. It's obvious. And so that's why the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, what Paul was drawing from the experience of all of these things that he knew, that he understood, he said, finally, brethren, Be what? Be strong in the Lord. Now, the word strong does not connotate this physical energy, but it connotates, it discusses about the resources in God. Be equipped with the resources in God. He said, be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. He's talking about the resources in the Lord. You just have to amass the resources of the Lord unto yourself. You must equip yourself with God's resources, with God's things, with God's property. Because the resources of the earth does not make a man to live continually in a space. Praise God. I was Babangida not strong. He was one of the strongest soldiers, one of the intelligent soldiers I've ever seen in my life. Babangida, listen, if Babangida is in our midst here, and he stand here, and he look around, in 10 years he will pick your face, and he will tell you where he met you. In 10 years, he's as intelligent as that. And of course, the man who was competing with him, who think he can take over, who he knew that can take over the space that he occupied, was Vatsa. And so he needed to eliminate that man. This, listen, spiritual warfare is real. It is real. And so if you now say, well, I'm not into warfare, you're on your own. So he eliminated that man. But where is him today? He's in crutches. He can't stand. He can't walk. They have to bring him out on wheelchairs. Praise God. He has been practically displaced from his space. He doesn't have a space in the political arena of Nigeria again. He has no say any longer. If you are consulting Babangida for political issue, you are consulting the dead. Praise God. So, in other words, it shows that the wealth, our education, that which we have accomplished in life, is what makes us to strong. It's not what gives us strength to occupy space. Praise God. It's not. It is your strength in the Lord. It is your strength, because those are the resources that you require. Now, as I proceed, you will see people who make use of those resources and they stay in their space and they overcome kingdom. They overcome nations. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, in other words, a place needed not to be empty before an invasion comes. How many of you have seen an invasion even in your living room? Of course, ant is an invasion. It's an invasion. Do you need flies? There are invasions. I was in my house one day when my little son cried out. I said, Daddy, Daddy, long green snake in the compound. I said, long green snake again. A week ago, we killed one. No, we are yet to kill that one. But we had the hint that the ink was in the second flat playing there. It was just playing. And somebody who was working with us said, there's a snake. That's an invasion. What is he looking for? He's looking for his space. And do you know that peradventure, if we are struck by any of you, if we are beaten by it, everybody might move out from the house because of the fear. So I ran out. I said, okay, since you have declared war against me, I will fight you back. Of course, I pursue him until I kill the thing. Praise God. So in our house, in our daily activities, there is an invasion. It's a space. People are looking for space to express themselves. They're looking for space to dwell. So even if you have a space and you are not strong, there will be an invasion that could overthrow your presence and your essence in that place. We see this thing playing out day and night in our lives. Praise God. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking from the book of Luke chapter 11. Can you give me the book of Luke 11 from verse 21? Luke 11, if you want to be, I want you to be very fast. I have a very limited time. I've not even checked the time that they gave to me. Okay. I think this is fair enough. He said, when a strong man, listen, don't forget where we are coming from. Be strong in the Lord. The Bible said that when a strong man harmed, Ham is a strong man. Keeps his palace, his goods are in what? Because he's a strong man. He's a strong man. You don't know what you are playing with. You don't know why you need to equip yourself and to re-equip yourself on a daily basis. When a program is organized, it's for yourself. It's not for the benefit of future, especially in a place like this where we are doing a work for the body. We are not looking for interest. We are not looking for profit out of it. Why? Because we don't even, of course, to get money to do this program, it takes a lot of conflict on its own. Not to talk of where are we going to get a leftover. Praise God. So, but the program is essentially organized in order to keep you strong. In order to strengthen you against invasion. Listen. Listen good. I don't know the place you are now, but you will be invaded. It's not a curse. I'm not speaking like Tai Solani spoke those days. He said, may your way be rough. You are not alive then. You don't. Many of you did not even know it. You read it. He said, may your way be rough. And they took him. And yes, and they took offense on that statement. And eventually, it wasn't an offensive statement. It was a statement of truth. Listen, as far as we are in the faith, there will be an invasion in our lives. We are going through an invasion on a daily basis. We don't take note of it because we are not sensitive. We don't know that we are under siege because we are not sensitive. So the Bible said that when a strong man hand keepeth his palace, his good are what? Are in peace. Verse 22. But when a stronger, do you hear that? But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor. He taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted and divided his spoil. But it's not possible to take the armor of God just like that. We've been taught about the armor of God. I'm not going there. Praise God. But listen, you can only go and put hold upon the armor of God when you understand that you are carrying armor. Many of us are armed with armor. We are like Ephraim. In the days of battle, we turn back. We complain. We grumble. I don't like this kind of thing. Even little things in church, you complain. Little activities, little rebuke, you flare up. Praise God. So when the reinvasion comes, how will you do? I was talking to a man. I said, I hope you are not going to run away here again because where you are coming from is not as strong as this place. This is a place of discipline. Pastor D, you remember? I said, I hope you are not, because we will invade your life. We are going to invade your life. I told him, I said, we are going to invade your life. This is not a place where nonsense, sir. Yeah, you can't hide here. Praise God. So, in other words, if you are not stronger than your enemies, they will take over your space. So, what you need to do is to keep on preparing yourself. Equipping and re-equipping yourself. Equipping and re-equipping yourself. Until you are strong enough to secure your space. So, in other words, when we are talking about the warfare of the kingdom, we are talking about the contention between two opposing parties who are fighting over a territory. Praise God. We are talking about contention. We are talking about struggle. We are talking about fight. Praise God. I think in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24. It amazes me when God says, I've given you a land. I've given you a land, but contend in it. Okay. He said, rise ye up. Take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zihon, the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. There's no free gift from God. That thing we call free. Listen, I will explain. Those things you call free is not free. Those things you call grace is not free. Praise God. The Bible says, because there is grace. There is grace for grace. When you have the first level of grace, you can't have the second layer of grace until you tap that grace to receive it. And there is a work for you to enter into the next level of grace. If you don't do what is required of you, you will not enter into the next level of grace. Grace increase as you desire grace to increase in your life. Listen, everybody can access grace when you do what is required to access grace. Praise God. So he said, possess it and contend with. Why should God say, I have given? If pastor give me this, will you still ask me to contend with it? For it. Praise God. All we say, contend to keep it. Because, do you understand? But it's not, God is not saying keep it. He said, contend with it. To possess it, you have to contend with those who are dwelling there, because there are some people who are dwellers. Though, as far as I am, God is concerned, they are illegal dwellers. Praise God. But in spite of their illegality, God will not drive them out for you. Hallelujah. He says, so you have to contend. Now, you cannot begin to see, because this is a paradigm for us to see the operational aspect of our lives in God, that in those things that he has given with us, in those things that we think that, yes, I have the inheritance, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it requires contention to possess that righteousness. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand what I am saying. Hallelujah. So we are talking about contention between the two opposing parties. The intention is to have full control of that space. The intention is to own it. The intention is to have legitimacy. It's to come into a legitimate owner. I am the legitimate owner of this microphone. Praise God. And I can do whatsoever I like with it because I own the microphone. That's the intention. So in other words, when the other side is dispossessed and he takes over the space, he has become a legitimate owner. He does what he wants to do. He rules the way he wants to rule. He says whatever he wants to say. He controls you the way he wants to control you. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, so you yield your servanthood. So ye servant you are. Because you have become a servant. He has dispossessed you. He has taken over the reign of your life. And so you don't have a control. So we are looking at this issue of contention between the two opposing parties who are fighting over a land. Over a space. Praise the Lord. Now, we need to look at the experience of Galatian church and learn one or two things about it. The book of Galatians chapter 5. Can you give me chapter 5 verse 17? Now, basically, he was talking about the contention between what? Flesh and spirit. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary. So, one other, so that you cannot do things that you want to do. This is how it goes. The spirit stays here. The flesh stays here. Now listen. There is nothing called the dualism of flesh. You need to understand that. There is nothing called the dualism of flesh. But what happened is that flesh has the capacity to house evil and good. Praise God. Now, I'm talking of both, because we used to say material flesh and immaterial flesh. There's no such thing as dualism of flesh. But the fact is that this material flesh has capacity and potential to harbor both good and evil. It can operate in both conveniently. My flesh can do good today and desire to do evil tomorrow if I am carnal. Do you understand? If I am worldly, if I have not met with God, if I have not been purged of my sin. So in other words, when we are talking about the flesh, we are talking about the one that harbor evil. The one that contain evil. It's not the one that harbor good alone, because once you harbor good, evil will not dwell in you. Well, that is not to say that evil may not try to invade your life. But I think a principle has been taught. He said, flee from all the appearances of what? Of evil. So all we need to do, when we notice that evil is coming to contend with the good that dwells in the material flesh, then we take to our heels and we flee from that appearances. So, in other words, when we are talking about the flesh lusted against the spirit and the spirit against the spirit stays here, the flesh stays here, and they begin to drag that man. Come to this place. This one says, no, ibi nikowa, animo nikowa sibi. It is the stronger one that prevails. Praise God. And you can now see the reason why you cannot afford to play with your prayer life. You can now see the reason why you cannot afford to play with your scriptural reading. Praise God. Because those are the things that will help you in the days of warfare. Those are the things that will speak for you in the days when that battle comes. When they are dragging you and you don't have a ground to stand in aim. You are not strong in aim. You are dumb. You are gone. You are gone and they take you away. So, we see this issue of warfare. I don't know when I'm going to talk about it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, when we are looking at the issue of warfare, it requires an enforcement and coercion. Did you hear me? It requires what? Enforcement and coercion. You have to coerce yourself. You just have to enforce that which you believe. You have to enforce it. Listen, I can't enforce it for you. It takes you to enforce it yourself. You need to enforce it. You must stand your ground. You must take your place. You must take your position in God. And if you want to take your position in God, and if you want to take your position in Satan, may we know you, that you are taking your position in Satan so that we won't treat you as one of the friends of the church. Praise God. So, spiritual warfare requires what? It requires an enforcement and a coercion. You have to coerce yourself. You have to enforce yourself. You have to daily enforce yourself. How many of us are in the place of prayers and you are feeling, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you are just shocking and shocking and shocking. You need to enforce it. If you don't enforce it, you won't pray. The flesh hates prayers. The flesh hates reading of the word. Praise God. You don't care about it. I have a weakness, and that weakness is fasting. If I am fasting by 12 o'clock, one will inform me in such a way to just pray, I can't comprehend. It's not that I am hungry. But that ache is so much, it will be so rapid, such that, I say, please, can you give me a bottle of water to drink? Praise God. But there is a place where we need to enforce those things so that we can be what God wanted us to become. Hallelujah. Now, there are various degrees of kingdom warfare. Various degrees. Now, especially for Israel, it was a territorial warfare. Right from the days of Abraham, till date, they are fighting over territory. Praise God. We just read in the book of Deuteronomy 2:24. Now, right from that time, the contention is still going on, even currently. They don't want to hear Israel as a nation. Yet, God has declared a nation of Israel right from the day of Abraham. As a matter of fact, not just a nation, nations. He said, "I will make nations out of Abraham. I will make nations." So what is the tiny Israel? But it's a warfare of the spirit. They don't want them to stay. And Israel needed to enforce his presence and next other place or other land, other places that were not originally ceded to them by the United Nations. Praise God. As a matter of fact, I don't know, the 1967 war, they have almost entered Cairo. They were about to enter Cairo before Russia said, "It's enough." America said, "Yeah, go back. It's okay." And the intention was to build their presence in all the places that they have annexed and fought with. But for David and Saul, it was what? It was kingdom of Israel. It was 2 Samuel chapter 2. I think 2 Samuel chapter 2. Can you give me that scripture? Let's look at verse 1. Okay. "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up?'" Is that it? And the Lord said to him, "Go up." The Bible said that there is a continuous war between the house of David and the house of Saul. And the house of David waxed stronger by day, and the house of Saul was depreciating in strength. Do you know why? Because of the kind of tools two of them were using. Because of the kind of tools they were using. What was the tool that David was using? He was using the tool of God. He was not looking carnal tool. You remember the day when he met Saul? Saul was in pursuit of the life of David. And Saul was so tired and he fell down and he was sleeping. And he moved to Saul and he caught a little bit of his skirt. And he showed it to him afar off. He said, "My Lord, what is the offense of your servant that you seek my life day and night for that singular reason?" God said, "Yes. You will rule over Israel from Hebron to Bathsheba." Praise God. Whereas Saul was using carnal sword. There are many of us that are fighting the spiritual warfare with carnal war, even in the place of prayers. I think we had enough of that. We had a lot of it in the morning. Even in the place of prayers, we don't know how to marshal our argument. We cannot differentiate between the prayer, between God the Father and God, the judge of the earth. Praise God. We approach God with similar spiritual protocol. And we think that we are going to have an answer. There is different. When you approach God as Father, it's quite different from when you approach Him as God of the earth. And there are reasons in which you can approach Him as God of the earth. There are reasons when you approach Him as Father, God the Father. Praise God. So if you don't understand those protocols, you will just discover that you are praying and you are laboring, and yet you don't have result and reward for your prayers. And you think, "Is God not there again?" Is God not there? He's there. It's your protocol that was wrong. Your protocol, of course. Pastor Ipi was talking about it. And he made an emphasis. He used his family. The way they would approach him as Father. Praise God. It's not going to be the same way. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He's no longer the father of those, but he's the judge of that house. And so he's sitting as a judge, and he's administering case over them as judge. These are the spiritual protocol that we need to learn for us to be able to fight effective warfare in the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, of course, like I said, all kinds, for individual. And the church is so conscious and aware, very versed about individual spiritual warfare than the mean warfare. Praise God. And of course, I'm not going to blame us. There are many of us that came from idolatry family. There are many of us that our father, they have offended people. And they have put curses upon that family. Do you understand? They have put curses upon that family. There are many of us that when you remember your house, there was a time when I cannot travel to my village. Because I noticed that everybody that is growing up and is becoming somebody, before 50, and when I received Jesus Christ, I had a little boldness to go. And I said, okay, at least I know two of them, two witches. And we were in the same compound. My grandfather's house was so long, almost in my grandfather's house. And so, all his sons, they are coming to take their own. And we were all, in fact, you will be moving in that house. They won't see you again. When you go to the end, they won't see you. And I said, okay, Mameleko is the reason why everybody is dying. Of course, he has killed his two sons. And I went to her with boldness. I said, yes, I'm here. If truly you are a witch, come and kill me now. He said, I'm not a witch. I said, you are. I said, you are. Of course, don't mind me. Carnality of soldier is also there. Praise God. No, so it's also there. But there is this confidence of, when a man is in Christ, it's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. There is that confidence. And it was that scripture that I held onto. And I mean, you once said, no, I can't kill you. I said, you, even if you try it, you will die. That was how I break the jinx. So you can see the reason why people are going from mountain to mountain, from hill to valley, etc., in order to solve this family problem, inheritance problem. But there's a way to go about it. But the fact is that we were not on how to go about it. Of course, we have people who are also who are defaced, and they were leading us. People who are through their experiences, their spiritual experiences, and they are using similar experiences to craft a doctrine for us. And so all we do is to hold tenaciously on that doctrine of witchcraft. This is how to fight a witchcraft. I think you are learning the best way to fight a witchcraft in this place now. Praise God. So we have that kind of individual warfare, family warfare, and so on and so forth. There are families when people does not live up to the age of 50. I remember the first person who was an honorable in my family, my cousin, died before he was 50. There's another one, pastor knows this one, he was not up to 50 again, and the guy died. He was very close to me. He died. Because he was just a commissioner. He was just a commissioner for information, and he died. He just came up and he died like that. I said, okay. And Satan was telling me, it's your turn. You better begin to pray. You too, you will soon hit 50. You know those guys, we know hit 50. We won't get you there. And I said, me, I will celebrate 50. 60, I will celebrate. 70, I will celebrate. 80, I will invite you. When I am 90, I will call you. Praise God. I will still be handling microphone. Praise God. Of course, we are one of the people that believe in immortality. Hallelujah. So, we see those inheritance, family inheritance, that you are fighting, and so on and so forth. But, by the grace of God, we are learning the best way to fight those warfare. Now, however, there is a kingdom warfare that is more subtle, that is more very subtle in our midst, in which except you overcome, our personal spiritual warfare cannot be overcome. Praise God. Until we overcome, we understand the act of this kingdom warfare, and we know the act of it. Can you give me the book of Matthew chapter 13? Let me start from verse 19. Listen to this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and cast away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received by the wayside. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why would somebody sit in a place, in a church, and he will not understand the word of God? The Bible did not attribute it to Satan. Praise God. The Bible did not attribute that to Satan. Now, the time when Satan came is at the time when the guy did not understand what is spoken to him. Now, there could be two reasons which we could heap the blame upon the ministry gift or upon the ministers of the world, why that guy did not understand. Number one, there is this issue of hypes in our messages. Hastiness in our messages. Lack of time in our messages. Why? Because we are running 6 services. Praise God. We are running how many services? 6 services. And 1 hour for each service. 1 hour. How can he understand? What are you going to teach him to make him to understand? That's one reason. Another reason why that guy will not understand is when you come in the content of messages that you yourself have not understood. I think it was Pastor Ibi that was talking about that. And you call it revelation. You don't understand it. Of course, it does not add bearing to your growth. It does not add to your character and value system. It does not make you a better Christian. All it does is to hype your emotion and your psyche. And you feel so good about it that you have heard the word of God, but what is spoken to you is not understood. Praise God. What was spoken to you was not understood. And you the Bible said that by the time you are pondering king in mind, so the Bible said that the enemy will come and will take it. They won't allow you to ponder so much on it. In other words, the solution is that we really need to develop curriculum. We need to develop our content, our spiritual content, in such a way that we will be able to communicate the truth in a language in which all and sundry will be able to understand. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in parable, he called the disciples. He broke it down into fragments and into pieces for them to be able to understand and to grasp. That is what makes them to stand out among the multitude. Of course, we can also blame the receiver of the message. Because when a message is not understood, you did not do anything about it. You pretend as if you understand the message. Why is it difficult for you to call the one who speaks the message and say, sir, Praise God. When a message is preached in the church, we go back home, myself and my wife, to explain it again. Praise God. To explain it again, he said, what if he said in the morning? What is he talking about? And I say, oh, okay, this is what it. What pastor said in the afternoon, what is it all about? And we will break it into units so that the body will be here. We not carry it away. He said, okay, and this thing is simple. I said, it's as simple as anything. Praise God. Now, the next verse. The next verse, I'm going to jump. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon joy receive it. Yet, he had no root in himself, but endure for a while. For when tribulation or persecution, that is what we saw with that play. The play we watch on Monday. Praise God. When persecution comes, and again, why would a preacher promise a congregation comfort all of the time? Oh, Jesus is the joy. Somebody said that it's what you hear that you become. Praise God. That is true. But what you become does not necessarily make you a good Christian. Do you understand that? If I'm hearing a message of prosperity and I have a lot of cars, that does not make me a prosperous person. That does not make me an individual, a better Christian. That I ride good car does not make me a better Christian. That I don't ride it does not make me a better Christian either. Do you understand? Because we have to strike a balance in this. But why must we lay emphasis on one thing at the expense of the other? Listen to this. There is none among the ministry gift that is called for prosperity. That is called to preach the message of prosperity. I didn't see the template in the Bible. I don't know whether pastor have seen it. I have not seen the template in the Bible where Peter is called to preach the message of prosperity. Paul is called to preach the message of deliverance. James is called to preach the message of prayers. Prayers alone. This and that and so on. No. That is why fivefold ministry must be present and resident in all our churches. They must be resident in all our churches. It's for the edification of the church. Please, can you go to verse 22? Go to verse 23. Let me go to the next. 24. Go to 24. Now, look at this. He said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. That man is Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's the owner of the vine. And when he came, what is sown was a good seed. The first century Christian, the foundational apostles were good seed. But before the passage of foundational apostles, we saw the enemy came among them and he began to sow tares. This is a terrible warfare. But while men slept, were they, are you really sleeping? Do you understand? They were not paying attention to the details. They were not observant. And in this present day's church, we have fallen into that sea of sleeping. A strange person comes into church. We did not take note of and find out where is it coming from. I'm very, very inquisitive. And I thank Pastor that he permitted me to do that. Because if he had said that, I will Unkoja here. We are looking for a crowd now. Do you understand? It was after I have interrogated them that I will tell Pastor that past person that came. I question him. Oh, praise God. I will scrutinize. Where are you coming from? Who is your pastor? By the time he's scratching his head and we are just passing by. I know you are passing by, but Who pastor you? Why did you? How do you come here? If you say one sister, I want to know the sister. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because there are guests in the church, there are ladies in the church, and there are sisters in the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. The same thing with, listen, there are also boys in the church. There are men in the church, and there are brothers too in the church. So it's not peculiar to sisters alone. Praise God. So that we have a place to sleep tonight. Praise God. So the Bible said that while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Continue, please. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow a good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? Who put tares among this seed? Who put tares? The greatest battle that we are fighting this day are those enemies who pretend as the friend of the church, and they call themselves the fathers of the church, the leaders of the church, yet they are sponsored by Satan to destroy the work that God is doing in the midst of the church. Praise God. That's the greatest battle. Listen to this. Right from the days of Paul, he was fighting this battle. You remember the case of Judaizer. When they came in the book of Acts in chapter 22 or so, and some people came and they began to teach them. And the teaching looked so good and so beautiful. And they were waved. They were swayed off by the doctrine of Paul. And they began to move into the doctrine of Judaizer. Those guys who came. Of course, they came from Jerusalem. They have wine and dined with Peter. They said, we saw Brother Peter yesterday. He sent his greetings. As a matter of fact, this is the thing that he signed for me. If you are from Peter, then why do we doubt you? And he began to introduce a doctrine that is erroneous, that we overtake the faith of the Gentiles. Praise God. He began to teach the doctrine that we overtake the faith. And what was that doctrine? That ye must first and foremost be circumcised. Otherwise, you are not saved. There wouldn't have been no for Gentiles. It was a serious warfare. And Paul rose up. He contended with them. But he could not prevail there. Praise God. He said, no. The Bible said that there was, thank you very much, certain men which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot what be saved. This would have been the end of the Gentiles. We would have not been able to have inheritance in these things. Because it came, it looked so subtle. But Paul quickly picked the spirit and he fought tirelessly against it. He said, no, we are not going to. They said, okay, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go and resort. Listen, and that is why we must be careful among ourselves. We must become a safeguard for one another. Especially when, I remember there was a story, of course I write on Daily Independent. And I wrote one beautiful revelation. I said, yeah, I got it. So I sent it to Pastor. I said, see, this could be controversial. Look at it. And he said, no. This is heretic. And that is always his word. That word was like somebody shook my tummy. I said, heretic. And he said, well, it's your name. If you want to, you want to let it go. And I lost my sleep. I lost my sleep with that statement. It's your name. If you want to let it go, let it go. I lost my sleep. I needed to sit down with that word. I look at it, I look and say, yeah, it's right. I did not put it accurately. What I was saying was not far from what he had in mind for me to say. He just gave me the clue. He didn't tell me what I should write. He just said that, but this is heretic. I said, heretic, how can you say this? We fought on it. He said, no, there's no need for fight. It's your name. Let it go. Let it carry your name. And I lost my peace. I lost my sleep. I can't sleep again. Early in the morning, I called him. I said, Pastor, I saw what you are saying. Supposing I put this way, he said, that was what I was expecting you to do. I said, but why can't you tell me that? Put it this way. Praise God. Do you understand? But I would have sent it out and millions of people would have read it and I would have said that, oh, yes, revelation. But I allow somebody to scrutinize my work. It's always good. It gives us a safe landing. It helps our future and our destiny. It also helps the young ones who are listening to us. We are talking about people who are destroying the life of people in a new guy that just came to Akungba now. Is he from Ibadan or from Ghana? And the guy is mesmerizing every one of them. Praise God. Why? Because a guy came here. I sat him there. I said, come, who is your pastor? We invited him to preach. After he preached, that message, I said, who is your pastor? Who taught you this? I said, this is where I sat down. He sat down here. I said, who taught you this? Where did you get this thing you are teaching? And he was looking at me. I said, no, I need an explanation because this thing you are teaching is esoteric. He said, I called pastor. I said, Pastor, I don't know about this man, no. Pastor said he was also thinking about it. I said, this thing is not healthy for our children. And thank God he had. He had. And since then, we stopped calling him. It doesn't matter who, the kind of crowd you draw. We are not looking for crowd. We are looking for people who we are going to finish together. That is the most important thing. So, we now see that Paul was also fighting. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ also fighting that warfare. But we have discovered that in our days, we fold our hands with these people. I met a man of flesh, not a man of God. If I mention his name now, I'm safe. If I mention his name, he can't do me anything in the town. But because of rebuke and offense, I won't mention his name. I met him. I said, Alpha. I'm not. Your guess may be wrong. Praise God. And I look at his beard. I said, the man was looking at me. He could not understand the kind of boldness that I said, come. Where did you get saved? Where did you get born again? We were falling together. I opened his jeep car. I didn't mind my rickety car. I just opened his jeep car. I said, I've been looking for you. I said, I've been looking for you. When did you get born again? The man said, I don't understand, sir. Of course, he had to begin to use sir for me because he could not understand this kind of confrontation. I said, I just want to know when you get born again. Because you talk about juju in your message. You talk about Ifa. You talk about what kind of pastor are you? He said, the Old Testament. I said, so you are still dealing with Old Testament. I said, listen, you better be saved. Get born again. I said, come. On Tuesday, come for the autopsies. We will teach you. The man said, do you have your card? I said, I don't carry card about. He said, okay, no problem. Can I have your number? I gave him my number. He has not called me. But I did not collect his own because he must not see his number in my phone. Praise God. But we just fold our hands when we see people doing atrocities in the body of Christ. When each time we open our mouth to talk about it, people say, leave him. Do your own and let him do his own. It is not his own. It is my father's own. Listen, do you know what? I learned something very germane in the Navy. When you do a wrong thing, somebody will come to you, a superior officer will say, what? You want to spoil my father's work? He said, you want to spoil my father's sheep? And you look at it. Yes, my father's sheep. You want to spoil it? My friend, do you want to destroy this sheep? Do you know what it cost my father to buy this sheep? He was dead serious about it. In other words, he is owning the sheep as his property. Until we begin to own the kingdom, we will not fight for the kingdom. We must begin to own it and see it as our exclusive property and see it as our exclusive reserve that we have right. I keep on saying it. I will continue to fight for the kingdom until the last breath in me. I don't know what it will take me, but it is my right because it is my Father's work. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I must do the work of it that sent me. When they come, for the night come, when no man walk. So this is the time when I can do it. I have energy, I have strength. If it requires fight, I can fight. If it requires punching, you punch me, I will punch you. But this work must be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, but we saw these guys who came unaware. And do you know what? The book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Let me read two or more scriptures and I will begin to round up. Matthew 6, verse 22. Give me verse 22. Look at it. He said the light of the body is what? Is the eye. If I want to go to pastor, by the reason of use, I can still locate him. But if I want to go to that extreme end, it will be difficult for me. Do you understand? Because the light of my body is my eyes. Of course, I cannot see with this light without my eyes. Are you aware of that? There's no way I can see with my eyes closed with this light. If my eyes is closed, this light is dysfunctional as far as I am concerned. So the Bible said that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But we have people who have double eyes and they are ministers of the gospel. And yet, because we have an itching ears, and we are also looking for what they are looking for. We want to be like them. We decided to follow them. It shows that our value, our eyes is also, our eyes is not single. We are double eyes. We are not single-eyed believers. It takes a single-eyed believer to journey in this path. If your eyes is not single, you can't journey successfully. You need a single eye. In other words, a young woman lived in my house many years, and he said that, Daddy, he said, and if you want to, it's not we are going, it's I am going. It's not we, it's me, I am going. It's me, I am going. It is we, not we are going, I am going. Praise God. If your eyes is not single, you can't journey. You can't go far. You can't make it to the finish. You can't come to a place of strong finish and a good finish. If you have double eyes, look at verse 23. Okay. Verse 23, please. He said, but if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be what? Be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is indeed the darkness, how great is that darkness? Listen to this. It's easier to convert a Muslim than to convert somebody who present light, who present darkness as light. Praise God. And he has results. Somebody who present darkness as light, what do you want to tell him? He said, can't you see people? Do you have this kind of people in PGT? I beg. And you keep quiet. Because he has a light. He presents darkness as light. And people buy into it. And they are following darkness They thought that darkness is light, whereas it is not light, it is darkness. This is our warfare. This is the serious warfare that we need to engage ourselves. He said, so now, single eye. Single eyes talk about the message of Christ, which he has given unto church. The book of Matthew 6, we never stop amazing me, seeking for the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, all other things shall be added. Now, by the time we were not single eye, there was a time when I was not single eye in this. When I was not committing sin. But I take the message of prosperity as the only thing that can make me to prosper in life. Praise God. I did not have, of course, when by the time I was having this little, a plot of land in Lagos, it was my brother, my junior brother who was living with me that bought it for me. I was as miserable as anything. Nothing, nothing. But the day when the journey, when my eyes become single, those things that we were not seeking for, those things that we were not fighting about, those things that we were not thinking about, those things that are not, that are no longer our priority, begin to come. They are just coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in other words, what are you seeking for as a believer? Listen to this. If you are seeking for prosperity, why don't you go to Patutomi? Go to business school. Do you understand? Patutomi has the techniques. He has the wherewithal. Go to business school in Lekki. They call it Pan-African University now. Go to that school. I think it costs you less than just about 2-3 million for 1 year. Yes. Before it was 500. In 1988, 89, 500, 90, 90 and so on. 500. But 2000, they turned it to 800. But I'm sure maybe it's around 500 now. Because if you know the 5 million now, maybe it's around 5 million now. Go to that place. Church is not a place where they preach that kind of messages. Now, am I saying that we cannot organize business talk in the church? No, that's not what I am saying. But it's not our emphasis. Do you understand? That's not the emphasis. Am I saying that we cannot talk about marriage seminar in the church? We can, but that's not the emphasis. God has not given us the ministry of marriage. Where we say that, yes, I am called to call to single and marry. Single and marry. Praise God. These are the people that we really need to war against, because what they are doing is to steal the soul of the young one and to sell their soul into Satan. Listen to this. By the special grace of God, when I come again, I'm going to conclude this message, because I know Pastor has said that he's going to give EP a lot of hours. And I'm going to round up on this note. You need to be focused on him who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Your eyes must be single. Whatsoever you need in Christ, when you seek the kingdom, those things we unaware comes your way. God bless you in Jesus' name.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGT Church, or visit our website www.pgtchurch.org. Thank you.